Well, let me add my welcome to that of Susanna's this morning, and we are continuing our series in the Lord's Prayer, and today we're looking at Give Us Today Our Daily Bread, just in case you weren't clear about what was going on earlier. What's to do with bread? I think that was fairly clear. Okay, so I wonder, just to quickly mention something before we start, if you're here as a young person, let's say, there is a sheet that hopefully might have been given when you came in. I'm not quite sure whether they got handed out or not. If not, there's some at the front here. So come and grab a sheet and a pen if you want to fill that in. And I was going to offer a prize of anyone who filled it in and came to show me afterwards. They could have a bite of the sandwich. But Steve's told me that he's promised to finish that later, so you're not allowed to touch that. But I can offer you something a little bit more enticing with a bit of sugar in it. So if you want to fill that in, come and show me afterwards. It'll help you just follow along with what we're doing this morning. Adults, you're welcome to do it as well, of course, but that's up to you. Okay, right. So I wonder if you can tell me how much this loaf of bread costs. It says how much does bread cost, but I'm actually thinking of this particular loaf. So we're talking about bread this morning. I'm sure lots of you eat bread a lot, and lots of you mums and dads go out and buy bread from the supermarket. How much do you think? Let's have a guess. Maybe a teenager or somebody can have a guess. The children have had a good go. How much does this loaf of bread cost? Let's get us started. Somebody give us a guess. Mason. What was that? £1. I'm going to give you a clue. A bit higher. Quite a lot higher. Anyone else fancy a guess? Yes, go on. 50. £50. I'm going to go for £50. You're just over halfway there. Someone else have a guess. More than £50. Maddie. Shall I give you a clue? This is the most expensive bread in the world. Okay? The most expensive bread in the world. It's only 400 gram loaf. It's not big, but it's the most expensive in the world. Go on then, Bix. As the only Ed member of the Ed family who hasn't helped us this morning. £100, nearly, yes, very close. £93. If you went to Spain and you went to a special, I suppose it must be an artisan bakery, you can buy this loaf for £93. And the special thing about this loaf is that it's made with some gold dust. So you buy a 400 gram loaf of bread and they sprinkle 250 milligrams of gold on there, because obviously you need that when you're buying bread. I don't know. But apparently it's aimed at the upper crust of society. Thank you very much. I'm here all week. Okay. Right. So, but today we are going to learn about some bread which is far more valuable than that, and something that will last forever. It's more valuable and it's more satisfying than even gold encrusted bread. Okay. So let's have a look. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer. Let's just recap on that, or where we've gone to so far. And Avesh read that very well for us earlier, but I think the mic let him down a little bit, so let's just read that again. So the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And as we've been going through the prayer, we've been going through it line by line. And one of the most important things that we've been learning is that we need to get the order of the prayer right. We need to get it in the right order. So I'm not quite sure how clear that yet. Hope that's clear enough. So the first part is talking about our vertical relationship, how we relate to God. And we've done that. And we've looked at the fact that he's our Father and he's in heaven, and that we've asked to hallow his name, to give him glory that he deserves and is rightfully his. And we've asked for his kingdom to come, to God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's what we looked about last week. But now we're looking at what we call the horizontal part. Well, how does that relate to us and to others around us, and to what we ask God for? And this today we're looking at give us today our daily bread. And this is the first of three requests. So we'll be looking at the others in the next couple of weeks. So when we make requests, it's really important for us to know who we're making that request to, because how we make that request is going to differ. So if you wanted to ask your teacher something, you might ask them in a different way, or your boss maybe. You'd ask them in a different way how you might ask your little brother. So give me that. It's mine. You wouldn't say that to your teacher. Or not twice, anyway. Or imagine it's the Queen or something, somebody like that, somebody really important. You want to ask them in the right way, because you have to understand who they are, and by understanding who they are, you know how to relate to them. And it's just like that with God. And the really amazing thing is that we come to God because he tells us that he is our Father. So we approach him like he is our Father. Okay. So, we're directing them to God, and we're remembering that he is our Heavenly Father. So, the question is, what's God like? Okay? So he tells us he's a Father, but what is he like? So, if God was like this, so can somebody just tell, some of the young people here, tell who is this? Who's that? Because probably not all the adults might know. Terza. It's a genie, isn't it? He's the genie in Aladdin, which I have watched at least once. And what happens? What does the genie do? How can you make the genie work? Georgina, that's a little hand there. Yes, exactly. He gives you three wishes. So you can, he give you whatever you want. If you rub the lamp, he pops out and you say to him, I want to be the most powerful man in all the world. And boom, does it for you. Okay. So what would happen if God was like that, do you think? I'll give you a clue. Disaster. Because we would ask for all sorts of stuff that wasn't good for us, and it would happen, and who knows, gosh, the world would be in a real mess. So thankfully, God is not like a genie. He doesn't just, he's not our slave, where we ask him for stuff and he has to provide it. He's not like that at all. Okay, another slide. Perhaps he's like this guy. I'm assuming everybody knows who this is, so I'm not going to ask. Okay, Father Christmas. So what if God was like a father, he was like Father Christmas. What would happen then? Apologies to Connect, because you've already seen these slides, I know, but there we go. What would happen if God was like Father Christmas? How would we approach him? What would we ask for, do you think? Come on, Terza's working very hard this morning, and no one else is. Yeah, so we might have a wish list, mightn't we? So, and how often can we speak to Father Christmas? About once a year, yeah? So God is not like Father Christmas either, is he? It's not a case of we have to write a letter off to him and we might get some presents if we've been really good. That's not a picture that the Bible paints about God being a father. It says he's a father. Okay, what about this guy? Is he like him? The Bible tells us that God is like a father. Well, this is one of the most famous fathers in all the world. Homer Simpson, okay, he's not real, but you know what I mean. No, God is not like Homer Simpson, okay? He might be a father, but he's not a good father. Okay, let's have a look at the next slide. Yeah, so it's really important that we take our view of who God is as our father from the Bible, not necessarily from our own experience. Because we have to recognize that not everybody has a good experience of having a good dad, of having a father. It's a great blessing if you do, but not everybody does. So we need to understand who God is from the Bible, not necessarily from our own experience. Okay, so what is God like? Okay, he is our Father. He is loving. He is kind. He is sovereign. He's powerful over all the earth. We've already prayed for his kingdom to come. He's holy. He's full of grace. He's forgiving and he's merciful. He's all many, many things that we are not. But that is the God who we are coming to and asking for him to give us our daily bread. And that's really, really important that we remember that as we look start our journey this morning. Okay. So, our verse is only very short. It's only six words that we're looking at this morning. And I'm hoping that you'll all be able to help me. So I've hidden these six words underneath various seats around the church. It includes the pews. So have a look, see whether you've got one of these. So it's a slice of bread. Not quite like Steve's bread, but a slice of bread that looks like that. So that will be under some of your chairs. If you're an adult and you're thinking, oh my goodness, it might be under my chair, panic. Don't worry, just give it to the nearest child and they'll be grateful, okay? So if you've got one of these, have a look under your chair. They're about this size and they're blue tacked under. Or the pew. Check the pew behind you if it's empty, because they're all there, I promise you. And then maybe just wave at me when you've got one. You don't need to bring it up just yet, but just wave at me so I know you've got it. And they're all slices of bread. Okay, has everybody found? Well, not everybody's found one, but hopefully there might be six. I've got some spares if they are lost. Okay, right. So, our first word then is give. So if you've got give, can you come up to the, bring it up to the front? Has anybody got give? Don't tell me we've lost the first word. It's disaster. Spelt like that. Okay. No, can't find it. All right. I'll have the sweet then. That's fine. Okay, give. So Cleaner will find that in sort of 2 years' time. I wonder what on earth is going on. Okay. So, give. This helps us to remember our position before Almighty God. We're not self-sufficient. We don't just look after ourselves without any need for God. We need to rely on Him. Because He's the giver of all things. All good things come from Him. And by asking Him, by saying, Heavenly Father, please give, we're acknowledging this. We're like a child. We have to come with childlike dependence on God and say to Him, we need you to provide for us. We remember our position down here on earth, and we remember His position up in heaven, who is the provider and the giver of all things. So give is a really important word for us to remember. We're not asking for payment about something that we've done or that we deserve or demanding something, but we're coming to our Father and we're asking for Him to give us help, to give us what we need. And the Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And we need to remember that particularly today in our society here in the West, because we do live in a very wealthy society. Now, I've been lucky enough this week to have had 2-3 course meals from work, not from Anna, at home. So I've been lucky to have, and you know it's good when you turn up at the table and there's so much cutlery, you're not quite sure what goes with where and where to start. So that was a great blessing for me. But that's not the norm, is it? That's some delicious food, but it's hardly daily bread. It's much more luxurious than that. But we need to be careful that when we have times like that, when we have a lot, not to forget that everything comes from God and that we do rely on Him. I mean, it's so easy for us to become proud, to become self-sufficient, to think that it's something that we deserve because we work really hard and that's what we should have. But we need to remember that everything comes from God and He has given it to us, and we ask Him to keep giving and we depend on Him. Okay, so our next word is actually repeated. So we've got us. If you've got the word us or the word our, can you bring that up to the front? Aha, see there were there. Has it still got blue tack on it? Yes. Oh, thank you, Ruri. Oh, Avesh, do you want to... something to say thing. I'm not sure if Ruri's allowed one of these, so don't tell him. Okay, us. So give us. Oh no, hang on. Need to leave a space there, don't we, for today. No, we don't. Give us something, our daily bread. There we go. Right, okay. Well, this is obviously a message to me because it's important to remember the verse. So it's repeated, isn't it? Us and our. Two words mean very much a similar thing. So we need to sit up and pay attention. When the Bible repeats something, it's obviously important. And us and our represents a corporate need. That's all of us here together, all of us in the world, if you like, everyone who is praying the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. We're not told to pray, give me my daily bread, but it's a corporate need where we're all in it together. And I wonder, as a challenge to us and to me and to you, how are we praying? Are we praying for that corporate need of everyone to be provided for? Or are we just focused in on our own needs and worrying about how we're going to live for ourselves and me and my daily bread? Or are we praying for our daily bread? Because we are very dependent on each other to even get bread on the table. So this wonderful slice of bread that we saw ruined this morning takes a lot of effort to put that on, to make that. So I looked up how bread is made, and I learned quite a few things. So wheat is obviously grown in a field by a farmer. It's then harvested at the right time, and it's then ground into flour in the mill. And then the wheat and the chaff are separated. So there's some biblical images there that we'll be familiar with. And to bran and to semolina, and then it's purified, and it's ground into white flour. And the wholemeal mixes the white flour back with the bran. And this flour can then be used to bake bread, either white bread or brown bread. But not forgetting, of course, flour is not the only thing that makes bread. Quite often it includes butter and milk as well. So we need a whole other set of farmers who are out there producing that in order for us to have the necessary things for us to make our bread. So it's not an easy process, and we are dependent upon one another, even to make something as staple and as simple as bread. So we're clearly blessed in our country here because we have a lot of wealth, but that's not replicated across the world. So I found a map of the world, and I don't know if you can, hopefully you can read that, it's clear enough, and you can find our country on there. And so if it's red, that means it's a very wealthy country. We've got $50,000 per capita, down to less than 2,000 if it's a sort of blue color. So that's a huge difference, isn't it? In those countries, we're saying everybody, the wealth per person in the country is $2,000 compared to over here where it's $50,000. So if I said to you, what would you rather earn in a year? Would you rather earn $50,000 or $2,000? I'm suspecting most of you would prefer to be over here. So you can see on the map of the world how the wealth of the world is not evenly distributed. And we are right at the top, really. In January 16, Oxfam calculated that 62, that's just 62 people, the 62 richest people in the world, so they're billionaires, they own as much as the poorest half of the world's population. And if I'm right, and I think it's about 7 billion people in the world, so that's 3.5 billion people on one side, and they own as much as 62 people on the other side. That's an incredible, incredible statistic, isn't it? And quite shocking, really, for our world. And 80% of the world's population lives on less than $10 a day. So if you transfer that into pounds, that's about £7.50 a day. 80% of the population, the world's population, is on £7.50 a day. Now, I suspect that most of us here live on more than that. I know that wealth within the UK itself isn't evenly distributed either, but we are all living in a very wealthy country. And I think the UK is the fifth richest country in the world. It might have dropped down a place after Brexit. I think France might have overtaken us, but roughly that, we're still right at the very top end. So we are really in the richest part of the world. So you might not feel very rich this morning, but actually on a world scale, you are. You're very wealthy. And the World Food Program says, the poor are hungry and their hunger traps them in poverty. Hunger is the number one cause of death in the world, killing more than HIV, AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. So this is a truly terrible situation. There is enough food in the world. It's not like we've just about got enough and everybody else is starving. There is enough food to feed the world. It's just not spread around fairly. So I wonder, what are we doing about that situation, both as a church and as individuals? Are we simply praying for my daily bread, or are we remembering that it's a corporate prayer and that there are hungry people out there who need our help? We can actually answer that prayer ourselves when we say, give us today our daily bread. We have so much. We can answer that prayer to our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world or other parts of our country. And as a church, we have a pastoral care fund. And you can give to that. And part of that fund is helping people that we know, either within our church here or people that we're connected to, who are in really desperate need. And we can give in that simple way. It doesn't have to be hundreds of thousands of pounds. It can be a simple, small gift that can go a long way to helping other people. Or you could give to a charity like Tear Fund or something like that, but you get the idea. So, we need to remember that everything that we have in our country, that you have right now, comes from God. And we've just had an offering where the offering bags were passed around. And I grew up in an Anglican church, and they had a offering plate, and that was passed around. And then when it was, they'd gone around everybody, they bring the plates up to the front, and then the vicar says a prayer. And it's adapted from David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29. And they say, yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. And that's a really important message for us to remember, that everything we have comes from God. It is not ours per se, we have been given it. And it's from that we then give to others. Okay, so our verse has another repeated part of it, which is daily and today. So has anyone got daily and today under their seats? Not that they want to admit. Okay, fair enough. I can't believe they've gone missing in the space of 20 minutes. Daily and today. Right. See if I can get this in the right order this time. Give us today our... daily. Okay. Okay, again, so we need to pay attention to this because it's said twice in the verse, today and daily. Because bread doesn't last forever, does it? And especially when Jesus was talking, they didn't have preservatives. And do you remember when Susanna asked you the question about the manna from heaven? How long did it last? It was just a day. So it's a picture of our daily reliance on God. It's a principle. It's not that we have to go shopping every day to get new bread every day, but the principle is that we rely on God daily for our needs. And that's really important for us to remember. And we need to remember that although we're coming to a God who is amazing, miraculous and powerful and made the whole world, he does actually care about our daily needs. And he's specifically asking us to pray to him to provide for our daily needs. That's a wonderful thing. To hold the one hand, we praise the God of the universe, as we sung about in our first song. And we also have that same God who cares about our every need and about the fact that we have bread on our table to eat. And he wants to hear from us and instructs us to pray every day. And a good prayer that you could use is in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 and 9. And this struck me as I was looking at this. It says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Proverbs 30, I think that's a really helpful prayer for us to be praying. Because we don't live in a society that is a hand-to-mouth society where we go out and we have to, eat what we've provided in the fields. We have supermarkets, we have fridges that we can store all our food in, and I'm sure you all do that. But you might be thinking, now hang on, wasn't there a story in the Bible about a guy who stored up food for himself? And I'm pretty sure it didn't end too well for him. So let's have a look at that, see whether that's all right for us to do. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 12, 16 and 21. And it's a parable that Jesus told about a rich man. And as we've heard this morning, we are rich as people here, as in the UK. So we better sit up and listen when Jesus tells a story about a rich person. So Luke 12, 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. So that verse 21 is key to Jesus explaining the meaning behind the parable. And it's the greedy hoarding mentality that Jesus is concerned about. It's not about prudent planning. But perhaps as we fill our fridges when the shopping arrives after our weekly shop, let's not forget that this isn't the norm around the world. And thank God for how richly he has blessed us, and pray for others too, that they would receive their daily bread. Okay, so our last word then, dare I ask it, does anybody have it? Bread. No, all right. Fine. Good job, I got some spares. Okay, give us today our daily bread. Okay, bread is very symbolic, and it was hopefully quite easy for Susanna to put together a quiz about bread in the Bible, because there's so many references to bread. So there was lots of questions she could have picked for you to answer. Because bread represents our basic needs. And it is a powerful symbol. And those who heard what Jesus said then when he was talking about the Lord's Prayer would have immediately thought of Exodus 16, where we talked about the manna coming down, and because they had to go out daily and collect the manna that came from God. So we've heard a bit about that this morning. And that God literally rained down bread when they complained, oh, we've got nothing to eat. And God provided for them in a really, truly miraculous way. And I don't want you to think that God used to do miracles in the Bible and he used to do that, but we never see that anymore. That's not the case. God continues to provide for his people in miraculous ways. On the way to church this morning, I drove past the Muller orphanages, as I always do, because it's on my route. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the stories there, where George Muller used to pray every day that God would provide for all of those hundreds of orphans that he used to look after in those orphanages. And what a testimony that is to the city of Bristol that those buildings are still there, and we can remember that, how God provided in amazing and miraculous ways. And you can read more about that if you're interested. And I even spoke to John Ray this morning. He was just telling me some stories about how he could give testimony to how God had miraculously provided in their lives, and stories that he can and talk about. So do go and speak to him. I'm sure him and Barbara will be prepared to share that if you ask them. So God still provides for his people in amazing and miraculous ways, and we need to praise him for that, because he's answering the prayer that he told us to pray. Okay. So it might not be a luxury, bread, but it does represent our needs. But it doesn't represent necessarily our wants. God doesn't promise to provide everything that we want. Not like the magic genie that we rub the lamp and out he pops and we can get all our desires. that he promises to provide for our needs. And that's important for us to understand. We're told to pray for daily bread, not daily dessert. And we can't really live without daily bread, our basics, but we can live without dessert. And perhaps some of us will be better off with a little bit less dessert, I don't know. But God will provide for what we need, not necessarily everything that we want, though. Okay. So, this whole request, give us today our daily bread, is therefore simply about asking God to meet our daily needs. But the fact that it's bread that's mentioned there is really symbolic, and it reminds us of a deeper need that we all have. It's a deeper spiritual need that each one of us has. Yes, we need to be fed. Yes, we need our daily food to keep us going. But we have a deeper need, a spiritual need. And Jesus described himself as the bread of life. And Susanna mentioned that to us in the quiz as well. So let's just turn to that in John chapter 6, where Jesus talks and explains to the people there who he was and what he came to do. It's page 1070 in the Bibles if you want to follow it, and on the screen. Jesus said to them, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So Jesus describes himself as the bread of life, and that whoever comes to him will never go hungry. You can understand how attractive that was to the people of his day. And whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. We as humans, we have a natural hunger and a thirst to know our Heavenly Father. He's put that in us, that we need that relationship. We need to be connected back to God. And without knowing God through Jesus, we will remain hungry, because nothing else will be able to fulfill that need, that desire that is natural, that is within us. St. Augustine famously said in a prayer to God, he said, "For you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." And often people seek to find that satisfaction in all sorts of different things. But the sad truth is they will never find that true and lasting satisfaction, where they'll never again hunger and thirst, because they have found the true bread of life. So I want to challenge you this morning, whether you know Jesus yourself. Do you know? Have you accepted? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and tasted and seen that bread of life, and asked him to be your Lord, to be your Savior? Later on in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about confessing our sins. Have you come to him and confessed your sin? Maybe of self-reliance, of pride, and accepting the fact that he is your Heavenly Father and you need him. And you will find true satisfaction in him as you do. The Bible tells you not to delay that decision, for today is the day of salvation. And what a wonderful promise that Jesus makes, that all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So we can have confidence that God will never drive us away as we come to him and ask him to fulfill not just our basic needs of bread on the table, but of our spiritual need, because he is the one who truly satisfies. Jesus himself said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if you remember the most expensive bread in the world, £93 for a loaf, well, that is nothing in comparison to having the bread of life, which will last for all eternity. It's far, far more valuable.